welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bible for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those, call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Of course, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you, Mother Six, Emily, and just little old me.
All right, so how's it going tonight, boss man? How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great, sir. Hello to you and First Lady. Hello to Emily. Hello to our rest of the surrounding city of states and faraway countries. I am doing great, sir. Thanks for asking. Mental is great. Productive day. God says where two or more gather in agreement, there we will have the word. So we definitely, okay. Well, we do know that's a live show. This is not a recording. Perhaps your lovely wife will get you some tea or coffee to help you out. Once again, welcome to the Bible study here. Wednesday night Bible study on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Like I said, had a great day today, and just want to continue to pray for the world. I say the world because that covers everybody.
All right.
And the craziness that happens around the world. So that just covers everybody. My family, your friends, my friends, your friends, my family, your family. So that covers everything. Doing great.
Amen. That does cover everything, I'd say. All right. And then, Sister Emily, how about you?
I'm trying to be good tonight, but that's kind of hard. I know. You need a definition book with pictures.
No wood, braille, and raised dark.
Oh.
Now, you know you have your fight.
I'm being sarcastic, big bro.
Don't be sarcastic. It's a lot of people who take that personal. You know, sight loss is nothing to play with. You got to kind of be, I know you said it as a joke, but, you know, that's something we won't play with here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network, sight loss. That's one thing that's off limits. Sight loss is off limits.
Well, what it is, she's gotten a kick. What it is, technically, I'll tell you what it is. She's gotten kind of addicted to my braille atlases over here. She's seen those, and she's kind of gotten addicted to those. So that's why she keeps saying that.
Okay, well.
But also, big bro, I have lost some sight. At night, I can't see worth a lick, and sometimes during the day, I don't see worth a lick.
Okay, well.
So that's why she kind of kids about that with the braille, because I've been teaching her a little bit of braille, too. So she's one of my students, but she gets a kick out of the braille atlases because of the raised, drawings, and so with her into art a little bit, she likes that.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this. She can kid around with you all day when she's at your house. But we won't do it on air because, like I said, she's doing it for fun, and I get it. But we have a lot of listeners around the world, and we have a lot of people who are dealing with sight loss. So they might not catch the humor. I get it, but just not on air.
Okay. Now, to mention one who actually does listen to us from Scotland, just to let everybody know, I want to say hi once again. I know she's probably listening tonight, is Maggie Balfour from Scotland. And we want to say a shout-out to her, say hi. And she knows my email address. She could send us any prayer request, and then we will get them on the air for the listeners. Okay, so just to let her know, so you could do that anytime. We'll be glad to get your prayer request on here on Wednesday nights so that people can know of your prayer requests. We'd be glad to do that for you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, Sister Ruth, your turn.
Oh, honey, you know what? How much of the Bible have you sent to her now?
Oh, we're working on that. We're actually sending her an audio Bible. We've already worked through 10 chapters of the Bible. We're sending her 10 chapters at a time until we get the whole Bible sent. So, Ruth, what was your request real quick?
I just need prayer because I got another flu bug. I just go out in the cold and I get it again. God's still on the throne, like I told Pastor Bonnet, so we're going at it.
All right. And then, Emily, we didn't finish getting your requests.
Basically be keeping Mom in prayer tonight. She hasn't been feeling so kosher all day.
Okay.
And he also forgot we got to pay for Reverend Quick and his wife, too.
All right.
Also for Big Bro and his family.
Right. And, of course, our first responders, those in the military or police forces or politicians, they definitely need prayer. And, of course, those in nursing homes and hospitals that need prayer as well. Amen.
And
Kenny,
also,
you're still recovering from your cough.
And also Sister Nicole with the loss of her mom, Mama Tyler.
I was just thinking of that, Six. So you beat me
Amen.
To the draw.
Amen.
Not to mention everybody else who's lost a loved one, special prayer out for all of those. Amen. Tonight, is everybody ready to do a little hoedown and boogie for Jesus?
It's a little bit different, yeah. Amen.
We call it a hoedown, because it's Southern gospel country type music. That's why you do a hoedown for Jesus. Amen. So are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
got something kind of special I'd like to say to all you truck drivers out there who might be listening right now. Also, a truck driver's prayer that I'd like to pass along to you, because I think it's kind of special too. But first, now I got a few things I've been wanting to say to you guys for a long time, and I think right now is a good time to do it. Like, did you know that me and just about everyone in country music who travel a lot have nothing but the highest respect for you, the truck driver? Because it's a fact that some of the best drivers are truck drivers, and the most safety-minded, the most courteous, and the first to stop and help when there's trouble. And little things like blinking signal lights to help someone pass. So you just gotta be good people. Like some I've had the pleasure of meeting. Down-to-earth, hard-working family men. And a lot of you like our country music, and that makes you okay in my book. Sounds like I'm blowing smoke, don't it? But I'm not. Because it boils down to this. If everyone would drive like you guys do, there would be a lot less accidents and deaths on the highway. So, truck driver, buddy, you're appreciated more than you'll ever know. And we salute you. Now for the prayer. Now, this truck driver's prayer was sent to me by a truck driver from Oklahoma City. He found it at a truck stop, Mary's Cafe in Cairo, Illinois. Now, this prayer means a lot to him, and I think it will you too. So if you will, give a listen and see if it isn't your prayer too. Dear God above, bless this truck I drive and help me keep someone alive. Be my mortal sight this day on streets where little children play. Bless my helper fast asleep when the night is long and deep, and keep my cargo safe and sound through the hours, big and round. Make my judgment sound as steel, and be my hands upon the wheel. Bless the traveler going past, and teach him not to go so fast. Give me strength for every trip, so I may care for what they should. And make me mindful every mile that life is just a little while. Amen.
Is
him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Oh. I'll bathe me in the river of my tears. Give me strength to carry on my way. Don't let the darkness drive me while I'm walking through this valley of pain. I'm walking through this valley of pain. While I'm walking through this valley of pain.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, body of your message, refer it to your subject line. And we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated.
My soul said yes. Yeah. My soul said yes.
Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the sea. I don't have much to breathe. Take me to
Evangelist Timothy River takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Got to tap me. All right, now it is time for our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Numbers chapter 7, verse 32. Numbers chapter 7 and verse 32.
One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense.
And this, of course, you'll notice throughout the chapter is repeated as each of 12 princes give an offering for the dedication of the altar, found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, this being the fourth offering by the fourth prince, the princes of Israel, for the altar, found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Numbers chapter 7 and verse 32. Amen.
Thank you. holding me when I've gone my own way. But I want to be yielded, for he knows what I need. And I'm so thankful for all those times he showed mercy.
And so Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I watched as he struggled. And I watched him when he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to move. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such love. To the Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "Joe! Carry his cross." At first, I tried to resist him, but his hand reached for his sword. So I'm now denied to cross and through. Put it on my shoulder. He stood it down the street. And the blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. He led us to Golgotha. He drove me deep in his feet. Forgive them, never have I seen such love in any other eye. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I pray. What seemed like year, lost all sense of time. Then I felt these little hands holding on to mine. My children stood there weeping, and I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us." Ran away.
Sweet is the taste, with every temptation or trial I face. and he's coming back to the well of bed now. He's coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and the sweet is the taste. With every temptation or trial I face, I keep coming back to the well of bed now. Keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and the sweet is the taste. With every temptation or trial I face, I keep coming back to the well. With every temptation or trial I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, keep coming back to the well. Keep coming back to the well. Oh, keep coming back to the well. To the
Ohio
4005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift. And we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Tim's Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Brother Tim Huber coming to you with the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week is Sidkenu. Our righteousness is in the Lord, our righteousness. We looked last week at Yehovah, which is Jehovah. It's spelled Y-E-H-O. V is Victor, A is in Adam, H. And now this week we're looking at Sidkenu, our righteousness, as in the Lord, our righteousness. Again, the verse, Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. There's the word righteous there. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah said can do. And again, our righteousness said can do. P-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. That's P-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. In the Lord our righteousness. Sickness, our righteousness. In Isaiah 64, verse 6 declares, we are all as unclean, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do see as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, is taken away. You must have Jehovah Sidkenu. The Lord is your righteousness. For you and of yourself have no Sidkenu, no righteousness of your own.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. ¶¶
Thank you. Oh my soul, what one His love and his own. like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for His crown.
Just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot,
taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This press officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, tonight we got a unique message out of 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, but first we'll start with 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
Now there was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children.
Okay, you notice here, we notice there's a man, and he gives his lineage, because obviously we want to know his lineage, that he was obviously a Jew, that he was in the bloodline, and where his bloodline was. And then it goes on to say that he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And then it talks about that one of those wives, Peninnah, had children while Hannah did not.
So we find that out. All right, now we're going to look into 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 3 to 5.
And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb.
Okay, now you notice it talks about every year they went up to worship, where they obviously went to worship the Lord, and he gives, just like some of us do that go to church, he gives basically like we do when we go to church, we give our kids money to put in the offering plate. So basically he's giving them each something to offer to the Lord. So he gives to Peninnah, his wife, and her children, which are his children, something to offer to the Lord. He gives them a portion. But yet to Hannah, he gives a worthy portion, a bigger portion to offer. So he gives her more because he loved her. But yet she was barren. Amen. All right, now we're going to look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 to 9.
And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord.
Now you notice here, Elkanah, he goes every year. He takes all these people with him, his family. And they go to Shiloh, so now we know where they're worshiping, in Shiloh. And every year that they go up, Peninnah, nanny, 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 you can't have no children. Nanny, 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 to Hannah. That's basically what she's doing. And like a little kid. I can have kids, you can't. See, back in that day, being barren was a blight. It was a curse if you couldn't have children. And so, Peninnah is over there gloating in the fact that she could have kids. And so she's over there, something like the kids do in the schoolyard when you got a disability or inconvenience or whatever you want to call it. Look at four eyes. You know, same kind of treatment. I can have kids, you can't. Act like a little kid. And, of course, this gets Hannah depressed. She doesn't eat. And you notice the unique thing that Elkanah says to her, to Hannah, am I not to you worth 10 sons? I think that's kind of an interesting statement there. Am I not worth to you 10 sons? Very interesting thing to think about. Hey, don't worry about sons. I had to be everything to you. And that's what he was trying to do. But now we find Eli the priest. He's sitting by a post of the temple
of the place where they're worshiping, and let's find out what's going on with Eli here. All right? All right, now we're going to look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 to 13.
And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken.
Okay, now some unique things. Now remember in the previous part there, Eli is sitting against the post of the temple, and now he sees Hannah in a sorrowful state. He doesn't realize she's sorrowful, and she's mumbling, speaking without speaking. She's, her lips are moving, but she ain't saying a word. So he's assuming she's drunk off her gourd. And what does he say to her? Hey, when are you going to put away your wine? When are you going to quit staying drunk? But she says, no. I'm praying from a sorrowful heart. And I prayed something to the Lord. Now, why does she do this? Why is she praying without moving her lips and making a sound? Moving her lips but not making a sound. Well, more than her just praying. See, in the law, the book of the law, if her husband hears her and then disallows her, her vow means nothing. She has to go by what her husband says. But if he does not hear her, if he does not hear her, then he cannot disallow her, which then everything she vows, she is responsible for. See, if she was a widow, then it's her father that makes the choice. Now, if a husband hears the vow that she makes and day by day keeps his peace, then he confirms the vow. Just like the father, if she's a widow, or a young girl in her father's home. That's what the law says. But if they don't hold their peace and they say, I disallow you, then the law, then the vow is broken because their father disallowed the vow. But if that vow was something that was really what was wanted by God, and then it was disallowed and the person was, something happened that the person ended up in sin, the father or husband is the one to bear it. That's what the law said. But here Hannah prayed with her mouth moving but nothing coming out. Thus, God alone heard her, making her completely responsible for what she said, meaning she had to keep to her word. And she prayed, saying, God, if you give me a man-child, I will give him to you for all the days of his life, meaning he would be set apart, sanctified to the Lord. And what would that sanctification include? No razor would come upon his head. He would be a Nazarite. Here, she's not even drinking wine or strong drink, so she's already making him a Nazarite from conception. So if she conceives, she's going to have a Nazarite from birth. So that's what she's praying for. Amen. All right, now we're going to finish our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, to the end of the reading that we chose, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 14 to 18.
And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad.
Now, as you notice, I kind of got ahead of myself in the last segment there. But after he had told her, put away her wine, and she said that she was making her petition known to God, he says, and she also said, Hey, don't count me as a child of Belial. That means of Satan. Don't count me as someone living for the devil. I just, out of my sadness, I made my petition to God. And he says, okay, well, in that case, let God, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, etc., give you your petition. And so then she got up, went her way, and was no longer sad. Now, how about you out there? Have you made your petition before God? The very first petition you need to make is asking Christ into your heart, asking him to come in, to stay, asking him to be your Lord and Savior. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be your day. Amen. And now it is time for Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Please the Father.
Number one, the board of absentees will meet each time. The services of the church meet. Ways of keeping the attendance as low as possible will be discussed. See that we have no enthusiasm for increased attendance. Two, the board of absentees will discuss ways of decreasing the offering. Three, the board of absentees will seek to weaken the preaching of the word. Four, the board of absentees will discuss ways and means of decreasing any revival efforts of the church. Five, the board of absentees is composed of the following members: Mr. Real Unconcern, Chairman, Mr. and Mrs. Take It Easy, Mrs. At Ease, Mr. Lazy, Mrs. Every Other Sunday, Mr. and Mrs. Don't Come at All, Mr. and Mrs. Have Company, Mr. Overslept, and Mr. and Mrs. Going Visiting.
All right, Ruth, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
If you want to give honor to God, give glory to his son, Jesus.
And you're sure that's your answer? Well, Ruthie, that was good, but you were only half of the answer. Half of it. So you were halfway there. If you would have said that, plus, if you want to please the Father, then don't be absent for his work, you would have had the whole thing. But you were close. So I can't give it to you because you weren't totally there. So sorry about that. So now you'll be 16 for 24.
Well, I'm human, so hey, we just have fun anyway. We still praise the Lord and have a good time.
Well, maybe you'll get it next week. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast shall walk among us and it shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Thank you.
The Virtues of a Godly Nation. The story of Israel as a nation is one of the most fascinating adventures in all the Bible, beginning with the Abrahamic covenant some 1900 years B.C. and continuing with the Israelites in Egyptian bondage until the miraculous deliverance by God through the directive hand of Moses until they were planted in their land under the hand of Joshua. We behold certain virtues of that nation that were particularly commendable. It's true, Israel sinned repeatedly before God, and consistently she was punished for her transgressions, but yet a pattern of noble heritage was established by her that no other country has been able to match. In this modern 20th century, we see national governments toppling because of our inner deterioration, and we are made to realize if a nation is to remain strong, there are certain virtues which she must practice to maintain her rightful place in God's overall program. The first virtue we want to examine, which has tremendous bearing upon the godly conduct of a nation, is that those people must have wisdom and understanding through the divine laws of God. This was so evident of the nation of Israel because the scripture says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and some under your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Deuteronomy 4, 5 and 6, KJV. If you're a citizen of the United States, you have at one time or another read the early history of the founding of the United States of America. This country was conceived and the labor pangs of birth were brought through fundamental understanding and obedience to the Holy Scriptures. To read a synopsis of the lives of any of these men who were instrumental in forming the bony frank of government of this nation while in its infancy is much like reading portions of Holy Scripture. They were men who sought to do the will of God. One sees humility, dogged obedience, and worshipful acts of devotion manifested in the men who sought to establish a land where the pursuit of happiness and the glorification of God Almighty might become a prime factor in the everyday existence of its people. This quality of wisdom and understanding through the laws of God counts for much. The blessing and prosperity that has been the precious legacy of peoples of America for two centuries. A second virtue, which is identified as a part of the solid foundation of any godly nation, is a nearness to God through consecration to his word. This is evident as part of Israel's astounding inheritance because we read, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" Deuteronomy 4:7, King James Version. Literally speaking, God was constantly at Israel's beck and call because unto her was granted the oracles of God that she might become the custodian of sending his gospel message to the four corners of the earth. The book, which we call the Bible, was written by Jewish men as they were inspired of the Holy Spirit to record the sacred words of divine inspiration. It's only because of Israel's repeated transgressions that the Gentile nations were afforded the privilege of later becoming the recipients of these blessings. This one recalls the infancy of America and the things which were instrumental in forming the solid formation for her stability. We see it. It was her consecration to God's word. You yourself can recall in your lifetime acts of natural or national consecration to God's word, which have set a pattern or helped to mold the shape of your own individual habits of everyday life. As a small lad going to public school, singing the national anthem and placing people's hands across each breast in salute to the flag was as much of their everyday life as rising from their beds, dressing and walking to the nearest schoolhouse. But allow us to go a step further. May I also say that as the class sat quietly before any lessons were attempted that day, the teacher read from the Bible in a progressive manner morning after morning and conducted a prayer service seeking God's divine guidance, blessing, and purpose for all under her hands of administration that day. That, too, was part of the day's activities that was expected and enjoyed as much as singing the national anthem and saluting the colors. That was the splendid heritage handed down by God's fearing men who sought to establish a way of life that would glorify God and be the means of providing untold blessings to millions. Much of the trouble which plagues America in this modern 20th century stems from the fact that the populace do not desire a nearness to God, nor is there a desire for consecration to his word. The word of God, which once held the podium of esteem in our country, has been trampled under the disillusioned feet of agnostics, so have been delegated to the place of ridicule. The reading of the Bible and the public prayer as an outward expression of acceptance of Almighty Providence no longer exists on a national scale, and there is marked evidence today of lamentable deterioration which will eventually cause the bulwarks of our national democracy to crumble into the shameful dust of ungodly oblivion. Therefore, the virtues of a godly nation must be maintained at all times at a high level of efficiency to preserve the people in their chosen way of life. Wisdom and understanding through the laws of God are an absolute necessity. Nearness to God through consecration to his word must be practiced on a daily basis at all levels of national living. A nation is only as strong as its people. May God help us to maintain these virtues in our own individual lives as well as in the lives of citizens of our country. God deals with nations on practically the same scale as he deals with individuals. This is so marvelously demonstrated in the scripture where God appeared to Solomon one night and said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. You can place this same scripture on an individual basis, and if John Doe or Jane Doe will humble themselves, seek forgiveness for their sins, and do the will of God, and the same promises can be claimed by them that God extended to Israel under Solomon. The virtues of a godly nation are the stepping stones of good works in the lives of the people, manifesting a good walk with God. One of the virtues of a life, any nation, is the marvelous answer to prayers. Other than Israel, I doubt if there is any other nation on the face of the earth that has been the recipient of answered prayer like the inhabitants of the United States has over the years. America has experienced many bloodbaths, beginning with the War of Independence when she sought to throw off the shackles of the mother country, desiring to establish a heritage for our posterity. Only God knows of the bent knee and bleeding heart that cried out to him during those years of the early colonists who sought to be free from the entanglements of the parent government. Final victory came as the answer to prayers which had ascended to the throne of God. Later came the Civil War when the people were divided and brother fought brother and father fought son, throwing a whole nation into national chaos. Again, prayer became a strong virtue that finally brought an end to a bloody conflict that ought not to have been. But God in his great mercy healed her land and brought a degree of prosperity and progress that allowed us to forge to the front lines of leadership among the nations of the earth. World War I also demonstrated the power of prayer in the lives of the people by giving victory over the common enemy. Then came World War II, when this nation almost single-handedly fought two wars and opted to end the miraculous became the order of the day because of multiplied thousands of prayers ascending hourly from the repentant hearts of mankind the world over, seeking a solution to an almost insurmountable problem. From the president to the lowest of the lowly, prayer was acknowledged as an act of humility and obedience, and God heard and delivered. Yet more than a generation after victory, we find that public prayer is practically unheard of today. Have we forgotten so much in so short a time? Prayer has been outlawed from the halls of our institutions of learning, and we have forgotten the divine avenue of our deliverance too quickly. Another important feature of any godly nation is the obedience of that people to the laws of God. This was practiced by the ancient Israelites in a most acceptable manner. Moses, the commander-in-chief of the Israelites, had the younger generation taught over and over again how God had delivered their forefathers previously. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Deuteronomy 4:1. It's true, America is not endeavoring to abide by the Mosaic law as a national pattern of government, but nevertheless, the scriptures declare that governments are under the control of God, and there is no government existing without God's permissive will. This is clearly set forth in the teaching of the Apostle Paul, where he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore shall resist the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Romans 13:1 and 2. In other words, the apostle is saying that whosoever sets himself against the plan of God and human government actually resists God, they who resist will be punished. As we view the moral landscape of America today, we cannot help but be appalled at the gross resistance to the laws of God. The one virtue of respecting law and order has been trampled underfoot by the forces of lawlessness until the clouds of anarchy hover over every facet of our being today. All one has to do is pick up a copy of the morning newspaper, and you will see where some segment of our way of life has been attacked. Those of you studying this lesson can't remember in your lifetime when you have seen so much violence. So many bombings and willful destruction of public property and outright flagrant disobedience and disregard for the laws of the land. This virtue, which must be part of any godly nation, seemingly have been lost by the American people. Of course, we know every citizen isn't guilty of this, but disobedience to the laws is a major concern to the law enforcement agency of this nation. Therefore, the virtues of a godly nation must be maintained as a high level of efficiency for that nation to remain in the will of God. Once a nation loses its virtues, then that nation, just as Israel had in the past, begins to diminish within the scope of God's blessing and ultimately comes to the place where she is rejected by God. We don't want that to happen to America, but at this time it appears such is taking place. Please bear in mind, civil government and civil rulers are ordained by God. They are for the welfare and good of mankind. We consider that half of the scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, deal with the nation of Israel. We should pay attention to what is said, done, and related to that nation. A virtue which Israel was cautioned about was the acceptance of God's word as it was without change and additions. Please note what Moses told them. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Deuteronomy 4:2, KJV. In other words, the strong virtue of a godly nation or any nation's people seek to walk in the ways of God is that they don't change or add to the word of God. We continue examining the United States of America and its more than 230 million people. We find this virtue is gradually losing its importance in the hearts and minds of the populace of the great nation. All one has to do is see that such is true, to pay a visit to any so-called religious bookstore and see the great array of various translations of the scriptures. May I add this thought before we go any further. Any paraphrase of the scriptures is not necessarily the word of God. Anytime the word is altered in any fashion, it no longer becomes the word of God, but becomes man's rendition or tampered version of what he thinks God said. The printing presses of this great nation gradually churn out an ever-constant flow of watered-down, weakened, changed, deleted versions captured as the Bible. In most cases, the original pure meaning of the scriptures has been obliterated, and some of these versions border on the plane of paperback fiction. The United States of America stands in the forefront of the army to change God's word in these last days. If you're an evangelical, Bible-believing child of God, you must admit that what I'm telling you is true, and this virtue, which God cautioned Israel to maintain at all costs, is in the process of gradually slipping from the hands of the people in America. The old-fashioned, true, unadulterated Word of God is no longer one of the much-cherished virtues of our ancestry. Yet God cautioned Israel that she should not add unto the Word, nor diminish aught from it. Another virtue which stands as a strong sentinel over any nation which endeavors to please God and walk in his ways is the fact that people must hate idolatry. Remember when Moses came down the mountain after receiving the 10 laws on 2 tablets of stone, he found the children of Israel had taken their jewelry, melted it, and made a golden calf. They had turned in that solemn hour from the living God to the God of idolatry. In the early infancy of this great nation, men loved God. The open sessions of civil government with the reading of the word and prayer for almighty supervision. The idolatry has crept into our way of life until worship of the true and living God has become an object of scorn and ridicule. And God warned Israel that if she followed after idolatry, she would be destroyed. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Deuteronomy 4, 3 and 4. In other words, God said to Israel, follow after idols and you'll die. Pursue the way of idols and you'll perish from the earth. In the infancy of this nation, idolatry was unheard of. The way of the Lord and his leadership was desired. Yet in this 20th century, in this age of scientific marvels and computerized living, the old paths have been forsaken and America has become a nation of idols. You may not see your neighbor making a golden calf, but chances are he has an idol that consumes as much of his time and worship as any pagan in the dark and mystic land. Only about half of our population profess a church membership. Please note, I didn't say salvation, a new birth, but I said church membership. According to the parable of the sower, the four who professed, only one was really a possessor. If you pursue this basis of comparison, this means that only about 5% or even less of the population of this great nation, or more than 230 million souls, are actually believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who worship the true and living God. This is a sad condition when one stops to realize that God has blessed this nation over and above any other nations on the face of the earth in the realm of material blessings. So, an outstanding virtue, one which I believe is tremendous significance and tugs at the heartstrings of God's affections, is the hatred of idolatry. The majority of the citizens of the United States of America hated idolatry. Then the lords of fashion and model changes would soon be put out of business and great segments of our economy would be going into channels of evangelism and missionary endeavor, seeking to bring the entire populace of this world to the foot of the cross where they would be put in remembrance or given firsthand knowledge of the true and living God. Yet figuratively speaking, we have molded golden calves of worship, and as we have placed these images in the very private vestibule of our lives and continually pay homage to them with our strength, our love, and human devotion, this places us in a very precarious situation as the leading nation on the face of the earth because we are being instrumental in leading others on the same downward pathway. Because Israel worshipped Baal Peor, according to Numbers chapter 25, and read the whole chapter, God became angry with her. He had 1,000 of her chief men crucified and slew every man that was joined in the adulterous worship of Baal. Also, God sent a plague, which with those slain and crucified, destroyed more than 24,000 of them. So we stand in jeopardy of extinction because we have lost virtue of the true and living God. These are serious matters and should not be treated lightly. May God help us to humble ourselves and turn to the true and living God from our idols. The seventh virtue outlined in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, read the whole chapter, which we want to examine briefly, is the one relative to sound and biblical education as well as an economical and civil program. We want to scratch the surface and see what the Israelites faced, and when we want to paralyze this view of the American nation, hoping that we can profit by what we read and what we hear. If you will notice verses 5 through 10 of Deuteronomy 4, a great general theme is the underlying thought that the individual is to live diligently by the law and instill that same law in his children. May I share a portion of scripture with you? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them by thy sons and thy sons' sons, Deuteronomy 4:9. May we also look at verse 14, which is significant in the usage before us. Scripture, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Deuteronomy 4:14, KJV. According to the rule which God had laid down for the nation of Israel, they were to have a sound and biblical educational program. They were likewise to have a sound economical and civil program. In other words, the living God was their leader, but from the highest official in a civil responsibility down to the smallest child, there was to be an understanding in minute detail of what God required of them, and it was expected that they were to follow the rules and regulations to the letter. In so doing, God in turn would bless them to a degree never known by human beings before. We know God did bless them, but yet Israel failed God miserably and became a stiff-necked people and turned to their own ways, and naturally God's judgment fell upon them, and they were scattered among the nations of the earth for approximately 2.5 millenniums. With no country, no flag, no place to lay their head or the soles of their feet, and became the wandering Jew hounded from pillar to post among the nations of the earth. They lost their virtues as a godly nation and subsequently became the recipients of God's judgment upon them. Now, it's not necessary that I spend a lot of time talking about a parallel application for the United States of America, because anyone who has ever studied American history to any degree knows the nation was founded upon the word of God by people who came to those shores to seek out a place for God to live in. In the early days, a sound biblical, educational, economical, and civil program was the backbone of this nation. But I'm unhappy to report that we have strayed far from the straight and narrow path. I'm made to believe this virtue has been lost entirely by the masses of our population. So the next virtue which was commendable to Israel was her absolute faith in the providence of God and trust in him against all enemies. Believe me, friends, this virtue, if practiced to its fullest extent, could be one of the least expensive military programs for any nation. Please note that what Moses told the young and upcoming generation of Israelites relative to this virtue, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Deuteronomy 4:38-39, KJV. Isn't that marvelous? God promised to drive out the mighty nations and give them their land for an inheritance. I promise that as long as they walked in the virtuous way he had laid down for them, that no nation on the earth would overtake or subdue them, because their God would fight all of their battles and he would remain their eternal defender. Having lived two-thirds of a century, having been recipient of a simple heritage of my God-fearing father and mother, I was taught in the providence of God and trained to practice trusting him against all obstacles. And today, on a national level, more than one half of every tax dollar goes for war and war preparation in the form of a mechanics of a war machine, and the American taxpayer is loaded down to an almost breaking point with ever-spiraling burdens that are supposed to hold off the enemy. Yet the providence of God is laughed and scorned at in our great country. Even the coinage in God we trust has been challenged, which is in our monetary symbol, because the nation as a whole no longer practices this virtue which Moses admonished the Israelites to cherish all the days of her life. Will the American people and its leaders return to the virtue of absolute faith in the providence of God and trust him against all enemies? If we did, it would revolution our way of living. We would again assume the rightful place of leadership among the nations of the earth. If it's ever accomplished, it would have to begin with the individual one by one. The last and concluding verse which I want to discuss is that Israel was admonished that she must give recognition to God as the creator and the sovereign of all things. This is clearly set forth in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 16 through 20, verse 32, and verses 39 through 40. I would like to share this latter verse with you at this time. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Deuteronomy 4:40. The starting point with any individual who seeks to serve God as well as any nation is there must be the recognition of God as the creator and sovereign of all things. This is much like inserting the key in the ignition prior to pushing the starter button to energize an engine. As I behold the general trend of thinking among a representation of the peoples of America, this virtue has practically been lost into the dark, cavernous abyss of unbelief. God, as creator and sovereign of all things, no longer occupies the rightful throne of
preeminence in the minds of the majority of the citizens of this country. We might also add, of the whole world, it's almost a universal condition and is paving the way for the day and age when apostasy will reach a climactic peak. The Bible says God will give the peoples of the world over to a strong delusion or a misleading influence. This is outlined in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 10 through 12. Let's quickly review the nine virtues, and while doing so, let's see if God has spoken to our hearts, and if so, let's assume our rightful obligation on an individual basis. Number one, wisdom and understanding through the laws of God. Two, nearest to God through consecration to his word. Three, miraculous answers to prayer. Four, obedience to the laws of God. Five, acceptance of God's word as it is without change. In addition, six, hatred of idolatry. Educational, economical, and civil programs. Eight, absolute faith, in the providence of God and trust in him against all enemies. And nine, recognition of God as the creator and sovereign of all things. I'd like to submit an eight-point program for reclaiming the virtues of a godly nation. I believe the United States of America would diligently, without any hypocrisy, enter into this eight-point program, which I can submit to you. The problems confronting this nation would gradually subside, and we find ourselves in favor with Almighty God. Okay, here it is. Point number one, personal confession of faith and obedience to God's will for the individual life. This point is an individual basis. Point number two, the President of the United States of America, his cabinet, and governors of states acknowledge God as creator and sovereign of all things. This point is on a government level basis. Point number three, the President, as the head of state, established the Bible as the official rule of all activities of government. Point four, the Bible and prayer be returned to the classrooms at all levels of education so our children can be instructed in true righteousness. Point number five, a national time for daily Bible reading and prayer be established in all official offices and be carried over all radio stations within the continental limits and territories of the United States. Point number six, a general reduction in the military budget year by year, and that money be used to send missionaries with the gospel of Jesus Christ to all unbelieving nations. Point seven, the Bible has printed on the government printing presses in all languages and dialects, and a copy be supplied to every person free of charge throughout the whole wide world in every country, beginning here in America. Point eight, one day each month be set aside throughout the land for prayer, Bible reading, fasting, and the worship of God as creator and sovereign above all. This is a suggested eight-point program for the United States to order that it may reclaim the virtues of a godly nation and win the favor of God. I base this eight-point problem upon the following scripture. Scripture, if any people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Upon the authority of God Almighty's inspired word, though this particular scripture was written for Israel, it can apply to the United States of America if she's willing to meet the conditions laid down herein. May God help us to wake up as a nation before we overrun by the heathen, unbelieving forces of Antichrist. The next lesson is, it is finished.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBiblesFor THEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page.
you there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that, click enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app, the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
All right, and who do we have finally at the end of the show here, Ruth?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, and you and me.
All right, well, Ruth, we'll ask you to give us a closing prayer.
Well, we love you and praise your name, sweet Lord. And got mail, and you know what the requests are, because I'm so tired tonight, I can't really remember them all. So we just love and praise your name for all you do, and we want to do a whole lot more to help you, too, because we love you. Amen.
Amen. And we want to invite everybody tomorrow night for The Truth of the Matter, 9 p.m. with Dr. Doug Quick here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Good night, sweetie.